Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We continue our sermon series today and one more Sunday, on Psalm 51, David's great song and hymn of repentance. I was kidding with the elders before the service, and my kidding, though, was true. Because of all the events going on in the Sunday today, instead of a 4-page sermon, I read a 2.5-page sermon, but don't get used to it. It's a special day because of all activities. Would you read together with me the title of this morning's message? God's Restoration Project. These are David's words in Psalm 51. O Lord, cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Please turn in your worship folders. Find there the sermon outline, God's Restoration Projects. I have something to confess to you this morning. I love to watch TV shows that are about restoration projects, especially the shows I like where old vintage cars are restored. It's amazing how these guys can take an old wreck and with effort, time, material, and money, make that wreck brand new. Now, even though I do enjoy these programs, I sometimes shake my head at what the guys are doing. What they're doing doesn't make any logical sense. Most of the wrecks they work on are so far gone, why sink all that time, effort, and money and material into them? That money spent on restoring them could be used to buy a brand new car, especially if you have Brad Pelling as your car insurance man, as I do. Remember 2 summers ago? My car was totaled, written off, said no way to restore it. But let me ask you this morning, does God like restoration projects? I hope so, because you and I have a lot in common with the car on the left. We have a lot in common with that old wreck that doesn't make any sense to restore. You see, mankind had been shiny and new, but soon the new wore off with Adam and Eve's sin and rebellion, and their sin was like a car crash, leaving them a tangled wreck. And what is more, Scripture says, their offspring, which includes you and me, are also now a tangled mess. The Scriptures tell us we are sinners through and through from the time we're conceived, and that's one of the reasons we have infant baptisms. Now, proof that even the best of Adam and Eve's offspring is a mess is seen in King David, who wrote this psalm. Now, David had been faithful and devout, but he gave all of his faithfulness up to God. It started when his wandering eyes fell upon a bathing beauty named Bathsheba. She was a married woman. David committed adultery with her, even though he knew better. And when the pregnancy was reported, David tried to deceive Bathsheba's husband Uriah. And when that didn't work, he had Uriah killed on purpose on the battlefront. It was like a freeway crash when one car slams into the next and slams into the next and the next. David had become a tangled mess. What do you do with such messes? Often we haul the wrecks off to the junkyard. You cast them off. So many times these cars even aren't worth fixing. Now such was David's life. And David knew it. His guilty conscience accused him. He felt as though, Psalm 51 says, my very bones were being crushed. And then came to him his pastor, the prophet Nathan. And Nathan was able to bring David to his knees to confess his sins. But then what? Was God done with David? David hoped not. Therefore, he prayed the words of today's text. Listen to the words again. This is what David prayed. O Lord, cast me not away from your presence. That is, don't throw me on the junk heap. Instead, he prayed the Lord would have mercy and hold on to him. My friends, we, like David of old, are the offspring of a fallen humanity. We hope that God will not cast us off forever from his presence. No, maybe we haven't committed the sins that David did, but we still admit Sunday after Sunday that we are sinners. Listen to the words of the liturgy. Listen to these words. We say, Lord, I have sinned against you in thought, in word, and in deed. We have not loved God with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve his temporal and eternal punishment. How many times have you said those words? But did the Lord keep David in spite of the wreck he made out of his life? He did. Pastor Nathan declared to David on behalf of the Lord that God had taken away his confessed sin. Proof of that is that David cared about his sin. You see, the fact that David cared, the fact that David wanted to relieve his heavy conscience, was indication that the Holy Spirit was working in him. Scripture teaches us that the work of the Holy Spirit includes convicting us of our sin. And that David was there confessing his sin meant that God was not finished with him yet. And so David prayed in this Psalm 51, O Lord, take not your Holy Spirit from me. God was answering his prayer. I hope you're listening this morning. These words of the sermon are not just about David 3,000 years ago. They're about you and me today. Our Lord is answering our prayer today too. In his mercy, God's children still have the Holy Spirit. And you can know you have the Holy Spirit in your heart if you care about your sin. If you want to be relieved from your guilty conscience, people that just don't care don't really have the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit remained with David. And he remains with you and me today to do more than just convict us of our sin. He is with us today to create in our hearts faith and righteousness. This is possible. Look here behind the altar. All of this is possible. God making sense and restoring our wrecked lives, only made possible because of our dear Lord Jesus Christ. He endured the agony of the cross to pay for the sins of the world, yours and mine. It wasn't a cheap cost that God spent to restore you. It was the costly price of the death of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, the shedding of his innocent blood. That's how much it cost to restore sinners like me and you. Indeed, there was a heavy price to pay for our restoration. Like the guys in the car show, it would have made more sense for God simply to write us off, but God does the illogical. He doesn't write us off. He doesn't throw us into the junk heap. He doesn't leave us to rot in the grave. Listen to what 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9 says. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich. What does that mean? Jesus Christ, the Almighty Son of God, who had it all in the glories of heaven, rich beyond all eternity, gave it up. He became poor. Poor to the point of dying upon the cross of Calvary. That's how poor he became. That through his poverty, you and I might become rich. Rich with the forgiveness of sins. Rich with the adoption of sons and daughters. Rich with the glories of heaven. In his deep love for us, God, our Heavenly Father, pulled us out of the junk heap. He set to work at great expense on his restoration project, who is you and me. My friends, we are still a work in progress, but God intends to finish what he started because he's already so highly invested in our restoration. Now, just imagine those beautiful restored cars like the one on the right. I can't quite see. It might be a 55. That's my favorite car, 1955 Red Cherry Chevrolet. If those restored cars could talk, They would tell their restorers how happy they are. They have been snatched from the junkyard and restored to their original glory. But they can't talk. They can't give thanks. But we can. And what joy is ours in our restoration. David expressed this joy when he said, "Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation." Restored by the Holy Spirit, in his faith in the Savior who was yet to come, David expressed his joy in the restoration he had received. And about himself, David says this in Psalm 32, verse 1. David said, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed is the one whose sins are covered." How good it is to be us, restored to new life again. Now listen carefully. Where did you see these four things, these three terms I'm going to give you now, where did you see these happening today? Restoration. New life. Made brand new. Why, we saw it today in the waters of holy baptism. Heidi, Grady, Ethan, restored, made brand new, given a new life. Now, if you've heard no other sentence in this sermon, hear these two sentences right now. Car restoration projects don't always make sense from a cost perspective. However, love for what is being restored makes all the difference. And then, no cost is too great. Listen again. Car restoration projects don't always make sense from a cost perspective. But love for what is being restored makes all the difference. Then, no cost is too great. Sinful people's restoration projects don't always make sense from a cost perspective. But love for what is being restored makes all the difference. Then no cost is too great. Friends, so too God's love for David, God's love for sinners like you and me, makes all the difference. Just one look at the cross of Jesus tells us, in God's eyes, no cost was too great to restore you. David's Psalm 51 prayer of restoration is our prayer. Would you bow your heads with me and make these words of David your own? O Lord, cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Amen. In the name of Jesus, you are God's restoration projects. Amen.